Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Email oliver at rte.ie.
The apple tree in Jim's garden had brought him years of joy. It had been a goalpost, a shading spot, and a hiding place.
A little pruning and it'll come back stronger than ever. It's gone a bit wild. Just a few of these taller branches and we're done.
Always ask yourself the question, are you sure it's safe? Look out for electricity wires above and below you. If in doubt, call us on 1800 372 999. ESB Networks. Stay safe and stay clear of electricity wires.
Welcome to Insurance Therapy with Outsurance. Picture your insurance policy. Now imagine it sitting beside you. Do you want more out of this relationship? Why not get a quote from Outsurance, where you get an out bonus? 10% back in cash after 3 years claims free, straight into your account.
Make it a reality. Visit outsurance.ie or call 1800 600 400 for a competitive car and home insurance quote. Outsurance. You always get something out. Out bonus calculated less taxes and levies. Acceptance criteria, terms and conditions apply. Current home insurance is underwritten by Outsurance DAC. Outsurance DAC trading as Outsurance is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Prezi's brilliant, isn't he? Some people doing some clever joining up there with my topless nature in the park, waving at the British Prime Minister and my Duolingo streak. Some text in from Connemara. Joe, thank you. Great story about your streak in the park, Mahu. Thanks, Joe. Another texter. How many streaks are you on in the Phoenix Park? Just the one. Won't be doing that again, so don't bother trying to find me on Saturday. Thank you for the encouragement as well. Some lovely texters. Tom on Bro Duel, lost to Brendan. Fair play to you. Tasha Gohintok, Mahu. That's Brendan in Kildare. Thank you so much, Brendan. I appreciate that. And Ma on Fire, Tom Bro Duel, lost to. Thanks, Anya. I really, really appreciate that. And she even translated for me. Good man. I'm proud of you. Thank you so much. Now, my next guest this morning spent nearly 3 years in Portlaoise prison as a result of his gambling addiction. He learned how to write creatively while spending hours being locked in his cell during COVID lockdown. Early this year, he released his book, 100 to 1, 100 Convictions, 1 Million Euro and the True Story of a Compulsive Gambler. And on Culture Night on Friday, 20th of September, he'll be passing on his creative writing knowledge to other prisoners. Pat Sheedy joins me now from our Limerick studio. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Brendan.
Oh, you're lovely and clear there. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Pat, we'll dive straight in. Bring us back, okay? So you have suffered from a gambling addiction for a lot of your life. Can you remember your first bet?
I can remember the first time I would have won the sum of £51, which when you're 14 years of age, back in the early 1980s, is an astronomical amount of money. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately for me, that just set in motion a spiral of catastrophe, basically.
And would you call that £51 your first big win kind of thing that kind of grabbed your attention even?
Yeah, it was. You know, I mean, £51 for a 50 pence stake in any money is a fantastic turnaround. But for me, at my age, it was manna from heaven. And yeah.
Yeah. And I've heard you be interviewed a couple of times, and I pulled over the car once listening to you being interviewed. So I know your story well, and I think you're so eloquent in how you tell it. I can't wait to read your book. But did that big win, you think, set you on that path of deception? I think you described it for years.
It did. Yeah, it did. And, you know, the sense of entitlement that you get. And this, you know,
with that's interesting. Explain that to me.
With me, I would have been a very arrogant addict, I suppose, for want of a better word. And, you know, I always believed fully that everything I did was going to work. That's part of being an addict, I suppose. It's addictive nature. But for me, every bet I did, in my eyes, was going to be the big one. And then when that didn't happen, basically, I started to panic and my mind started to work overtime, and I started to come up with schemes and ways of getting money basically for that next bet.
Wow. The clue is in the title, I guess, but you can calculate how much you think you've lost throughout your gambling career.
Yeah. And that, to be honest, is the tip of the iceberg. You know, I know for a fact, I suppose, on reflection, that it's well in excess of a million in relation to genuine earnings, money that I would have stolen, money that I would have borrowed, you know, money that I would have won. I mean, if I was to accumulate it, the 100 or the million is an estimate, but
yeah. I think, as again, I feel very comfortable in this interview because I have heard you speak really frankly before in an interview with, I actually heard you on Brendan O'Connor and I really was impressed a few months ago. So you do speak very frankly about all of this area of your life. So if anybody feels uncomfortable, there will be sort of helplines on RT and stuff like that. So you sought treatment for your addiction, but you actually still felt you were in the grips of it despite not having a BEF for 12 years.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. That's kind of a paradox in a way, is it?
It is, but I suppose there's a realisation for every addict, and one thing that every addict needs to realise is that they're going to hold that addiction for the rest of their lives. It's never, ever going to go away. It's basically all about how you manage it on a daily basis. And again, with me, I suppose I wasn't in full acceptance in that period of time. You know, I began to think that maybe I could control it because my life had gotten to a point where it was really good. I had everything I wanted. I had a great job. I had a lovely car. I had a lovely house. I had all the material things that I craved. And arrogance, again, with me, started to creep back in. And I started to think, well, you know, maybe I can do a small bet here or a small bet there. And the reality is that I didn't. I dipped my toe in the water and it just kicked off again immediately.
And you describe in the book as well, in order to feed this addiction, your behaviour went down a route that you started defrauding people.
Yeah.
And do you see that behaviour as similar to a gambling addiction?
Well, all of my offending would have been committed to fund a gambling problem.
Right.
I mean, I don't have any convictions for anything other than motoring offences. Other, you know, in relation to everything else was done to get money to gamble. It wasn't done to live a lavish lifestyle. It wasn't done to buy things or anything like that. It was purely to gamble.
So eventually, for the phrase, it caught up on you and prison was on the cards. What happened? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I suppose I'd had a number of lucky escapes over the course of 30 odd years. I'd been in front of courts and never quite been sentenced or anything like that. But I suppose when it had come to an end, my life had gotten so much out of control by the time I was in court in 2020, I knew I was going to prison. And I didn't think I'd be going for as long as I went for, but I did. And it was an inevitability and it was a life-changing inevitability for me.
Good. With reading between the lines, I hear sort of a gratitude in your voice there.
Oh, very much. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. It had to catch up on you.
Yeah. I mean, my whole life, even apart from the gambling, my whole life was a complete and utter mess. I mean, physically, I was morbidly obese. Mentally, I was destroyed. And in every way, I wasn't living. I was just existing. So going to prison for me provided me with an opportunity to wipe the slate clean, I suppose, and to have a serious look at myself.
Wow. I'm fascinated by the 12 years of abstinence and getting your life back before prison happened. But you felt it was always there in the background. Was it some sort of trauma you didn't deal with, do you think? Or what was it that it was lingering in the background there?
The first time, I don't know. And that's being honest. I think it was just a long period of abstinence and things come into your head from time to time. You might be influenced by adverts. You might be influenced by anything. And to be honest, I can't quite put my finger on it the first time. But the second time when I went back into treatment in 2010 and I didn't gamble for nearly 5 years, I can pinpoint that. Okay, I had a few things that went on in my life that I didn't handle very well. You know, my father passed away. I had a relationship that, you know, that broke up, things like that. And I just ran to my comfort point, which was a betting office.
Okay. So it was in prison then. It was your big reset, as you say. Which you also learned creative writing.
I did. I remember when I went to prison first, like I said, I was morbidly obese, so I couldn't actually get a job because they were afraid I'd fall. And if they did, you'd have needed a crane to lift me up. But what I did was I went to the school and I was just so lucky. I went to the most incredible education unit in a prison in Portlaoise, and I met a creative writing teacher by the name of Shauna Gilligan. And Shauna changed my whole life, I suppose, in a lot of ways in relation to how I looked at things. I started writing the book as a therapy, I suppose, more than anything else. An addiction counsellor I had back in 2010 jokingly once told me that there was a very good book in me. And I figured I have a bit of time to kill now, so why not give it a go in here? And Shauna helped me through the process. She taught me so many things about the writing process, about reading, about how to interpret things, how to put words together, and express yourself through words. And, you know, I can't speak highly enough of the education that I received in Portlaoise and in prisons in general.
Yeah, so it's very interesting, and you really are illuminating it in a very excited way. Because you got to put onto paper, I suppose, or, you know, to put down in words. Did you find that process, the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's completely. Like, I mean, the book, I think there's 75,000 words in the book. I know I wrote over 330,000 words.
Wow.
And I could have written and things came back to me while I was writing it, things that I completely blanked out of my mind or forgotten about. And was completely cathartic.
And you won an award.
I won two.
Go on, tell me.
I was lucky enough to enter the short story section of the Listowel Writers Festival, which is an internationally acclaimed festival every year. The prison service has entries in the Writers in Prisons section of that for over 40 years, and I put in an entry each year I was in prison. The first year I got a highly commended award, which is a pat on the back and say well done, and second year I was surprised enough to win the best overall award for short story, and I won it again in 2023.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Now I'm going to skip forward quickly so we get this in. Culture Night on Friday the 20th, you'll be heading back to Portlaoise Prison, but this time to teach inmates about creative writing.
I think it's more or less to tell my story and to explain the whole concept of writing the book and answer any questions that prisoners might have about it, and to encourage more people to read. You know, the whole purpose of the Read More basically is to ensure that the Culture Night experience continues to include people who can't otherwise participate. You know, like, these guys are locked up. They're not going to be able to get out and buy books, or they're not going to be able to, you know, pick and choose. And hopefully this will actually bring is this will bring something.
So the Arts Council in September via Read More will gift a curated list of 30 book titles from some of my most beloved writers to 13 prisons nationwide. So it's a nationwide thing from Arts Council, and the actual initiative is called Read More, M-O for the R.
Yes.
Correct?
That's right, yeah.
And you're going into Portlaoise on the 20th of September.
I am indeed, yep. And there'll be some other authors going into other prisons. Colm Keegan will be going to Shelton Abbey. Anne-Marie Nicaron is a poet, and Anne-Marie will be going into the Docus in Mountjoy, and there's other prisons going into...
Will Sline is going to Cork Prison.
That's right, yeah.
Emmett O'Brien's going to Mountjoy as well. Yeah. I have to ask you, you're the only one. How's it feel going back to Portlaoise?
It's... I suppose it's nostalgic. Like, I'm part of the Writers in Prisons panel, so I'm actually back in prisons teaching creative writing at the moment.
Okay.
And... you know, if there's just one thing that I'd like to mention about this, and it'd be remiss of me to talk about the Read More and not pay tribute to the head teachers and all the teachers basically within the prison system. Mm. You know, the Education and Training Board provides a range of excellent teachers across the whole prison estate. And without the work that these teachers do, the encouragement, you know, they help prisoners identify strengths and weaknesses. You know, Read More wouldn't be the event that it is without those teachers. And, you know, Tom Short is the prison service arts and education officer, and he tirelessly works on projects like this to help prisoners. You know, it's not just about reading and writing and creative writing. There's art exhibitions and a whole host of other
things. I get a real sense prison saved your life in a way.
I have, very much. You know, I'll be eternally grateful for it, you know. I have serious doubts about where I'd be today if I didn't end up going to prison.
I have to ask you, you're literally on the coalface still, but in a different guise now. How severe is the gambling problem in our country?
It's extremely, extremely severe.
Is it getting worse?
It is, and you know, there's a bill in front of the Senate at the moment waiting to be passed, and I'm just hoping and praying that it'll get passed before the general election, because it seems to be disappearing off the radar at the moment. So I would have, you know, serious issues if it didn't get passed. You know, a gambling problem today is a hell of a lot worse than a gambling problem was for me when I was young, you know, because of mobile phones and internet technology. And it's an extremely serious thing.
So do we even know how big the problem is? Because it's literally in people's hands now on their mobile phones, the ability 24/7.
Yeah, like we have an idea, but I still think that the figures that are passed around after every research report that comes out are really just tip of the iceberg. And I think that if everybody took a serious look at how they gamble, or if they know somebody who does, you'd find the number is constantly on the increase.
Well, listen, you're doing great work, Pat, and I can't wait to read your book. Just to remind people, to mark the occasion of Read More, Seven Prisons will host events featuring readings and discussions with participating authors, and Pat Sheedy will be in Portlaoise Prison. If you've been affected by anything you've heard today, you can log on to rte.ie/helplines, or help is available via the Gambling Care Helpline on 1-800-936-725. Let's take a break.